Chakshuranmilitamena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Svapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Tadamayam Dadati Svapadantitam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Guru Sanatavalam Shri Guru Vaishnavansha Shri Rupam Sadrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Vitavshi Vishakam Vitamsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tutta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamani Hari Priye Vancha Kopatubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Putitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 59, The Killing of the Demon Naraka. Today we have a rare opportunity to have only one verse, and it has a purport. Word meanings, aham, myself, earth, paya, water, jyoti, fire, atta, and, anilaha, air, nabaha, ether, matrani, the various sense objects corresponding to each of the five gross elements. Devaha, the demigods, manaha, the mind, Indriyani, the senses, Karta, the doer, false ego, Mahan, the total material energy, Mahatattva, Iti, thus, Akilam, everything, Chara, moving, Acharam, and non-moving, Twayi, within you, Advitiye, who has no second, Bhagavan, O Lord, I am this, Brahma, illusion. Aham payo jyotirata nilo nabo Matrani deva mana indriyani Karta mahanitya kilam characharam Vayadvitiye bhagavan ayam brahma Aham payo jyotirata nilo nabho Matrani deva mana indriyani Karta mahanitya kilam characharam Vayadvitiye bhagavannayam brahma Aham payo jyotirata nilo nabho Matrani deva mana indriyani Karta mahanitya kilam characharam Tvaya dvitiye bhagavanayam brahma. Ladies. Translation. This is illusion, that earth, water, fire, air, ether, sense objects, demigods, mind, the senses, false ego, and the total material energy exist independent of you. In fact, they are all within you, my Lord, who are one without a second. Purport. The earth goddess in her prayers directly touches upon the subtleties of transcendental philosophy, clarifying that although the Supreme Lord is unique and distinct from his creation has no independent existence and always rests within him. Thus the Lord and his creation are simultaneously one and different, as explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago. To say that everything is God without any distinction is meaningless, since nothing can act like God. Dogs, shoes, and human beings are hardly omnipotent or omniscient, nor do they create the universe. On the other hand, there is a real sense in which all things are one, for everything is part of the same supreme absolute reality. Lord Chaitanya has given the very useful analogy of the sun and the sun rays. The sun and its sunshine are one reality, for the sun is the celestial body that shines. On the other hand, one can certainly distinguish between the sun globe and the sun rays. Thus, God's simultaneous oneness with and difference from his creation is the final and satisfying explanation of reality. All that exists is the Lord's potency, and yet he endows the superior potency, the living beings, with free will, so that they can become responsible for the moral and spiritual quality of their decisions and activities. This entire transcendental science is clearly and rationally explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om payo jyotirathani lo nabho matrani deva mana indrayani karta mahanitya kilam chiracharam twayadvitiye bhagamannayam brahmaha. This is illusion that earth, water, fire, air, ether, sense objects, demigods, mind, the senses, false ego, and the total material energy exist independent of you. In fact, they are all within you, my Lord, who are one without a second. Although the Mayavadis aren't mentioned here, this is certainly a rebuttal of the philosophy of impersonalism. Recently I was reading one purport. Srila Prabhupada says, it is the business of the Vaishnavas to fight with the Mayavadis. So that's our family business, to fight with the Mayavadis. And we see the theme of arguing against impersonalism so prominent. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Paschatya Deshatarine, he came to deliver the West from impersonalism. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. Right now I'm working on editing the Bhagavat Sandarbha, and that over in one argument after another Jiva Goswami is presenting. Of course, that particular book of his Shat Sandarbha, he's establishing Bhagavan, the preeminence of Bhagavan. Vedanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yad jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. The absolute truth is one, advaya jnana, but the most superior aspect of the absolute truth is Bhagavan. So Bhagavat Sandarbha is specifically on that theme, establishing Bhagavan. The debate between the impersonalists, of course, is eternal. As I said, our business is to fight with Mayavadis, so this goes on and on. It's been going on for a very long time. Prabhupada would often point out how every school of Indian philosophy has to have a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And we have our Vaishnava commentaries, even though today, generally, they've forgotten about the Vaishnava commentaries. They think that Shankaracharya's Shariraka Bhashya is Vedanta by definition. There's a group called the Vedanta Society, and I doubt that they read Baladev Vidyabhushan's commentary on the Vedanta. As far as they understand, Vedanta means Shariraka Bhashya. That's pretty much what's accepted these days, the impersonalist interpretation of Shankaracharya. But the Vaishnav commentaries on Vedanta Sutra go back a long ways. We have our four Vaishnav Sampradayas. These Sampradayas are actually predicted in the Padma Purana, that verse that everyone may be familiar with, this, the idea that the mantra has to come into cyclic succession, otherwise it doesn't have any power. Sampradaya vihinaye mantrasta nishpala mataha. If your mantra doesn't come in sampradaya, then it's nishpala, it doesn't give any fruit. So in that verse, it says that in Kali Yuga, there are four Vaishnav Sampradayas, Sri, Rudra, Brahma, Sanaka. And it says, Vaishnave Chitti Mandale. These four Vaishnav Sampradayas are purifying the whole Chitti, the globe, Mother Earth. She's speaking here. So the Vaishnav Sampradayas are purifying the globe, these four Vaishnav Sampradayas. And they're mentioned, Sri, Brahma, Rudra, and Sanaka. So the Sri Sampradaya, this is in the Padma Purana, actually, it says, Bhavishyanti, Kalo Bhavishyanti. During Kali Yuga, they will come. Bhavishyanti means in the future, they will come. In fact, the last line of that verse, it says, Yutkale Purushottamat. They will appear in Jagannath Puri, Utkal. Utkal is the traditional name of Orissa, that area. And Purushottamat means from Purushottam Kshetra, Jagannath Puri. So out of Jagannath Puri they will arise. So the four acharyas didn't all come from there, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's where he preached his philosophy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought together ingredients of the other four, or perfected the other four. The other four Vaishnav Sampradayas, their Siddhantas, their Darshans, they all, they're essentially the same because they accept Krishna or Narayan as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and ourselves as subordinate servitors. But in the subtleties, some of the subtleties of their philosophies are not quite right. So Atintya Beda Beda Tattva, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached from Purushottam Kshetra, purifies all of them, makes them all perfect. So these Sampradayas, they go back a long way. There's history for some of them. We're having all these festivals now, and next week is also the disappearance day of Ramanujacharya and Madhvacharya, one after the other, next Wednesday and Thursday. So these great acharyas, let's see, Ramanujacharya, he came in the 13th century, and Madhvacharya came in the 14th century. But before them, Vishnu Swami, his Sampradaya, he appeared around a couple of 100 years B.C. Now, Nimbarkacharya, the scholars, they argue, of course they argue about all these dates, they argue about everything, that's their business. So they contest anything that the Sampradayas themselves will say. But according to the Nimbarka Sampradaya itself, he's also called Nimbaditya. Nimbarka, there's a whole story about how he got that name. But Nimbarka, according to their own parampara, goes back to the time of Vajranab, the great grandson of Lord Krishna, in other words, 3000 BC. His philosophy has been going on. So Nimbarka is the first of the Vaishnav Sampradayas. And his philosophy is called Dvaita-Advaita, which means Dvaita and Advaita, both, which, of course, Beda-Beda is practically the same thing, right? There's just no word Achintya in front of it. In fact, I don't know if anywhere in our books that phrase is actually there. Maybe it's one place in Jiva Goswami's commentaries, Achintya-Beda-Beda-Tattva. Lord Chaitanya used the phrase Beda-Beda-Prakash, but it didn't say Achintya in that. It appears in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The context is Sanatana Goswami, of course, he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and asked him, who am I? People think I'm a learned pundit, but I don't even know who I am, so who am I? So, Jivera Swarupai Krishnera Nitya Das, that's the answer to that question. That's who you are. Jivera Swarupai Krishnera Nitya Das. Krishnera Tatashta Shakti Bedabe Prakash. That's the second line of that verse. The living entity is the eternal servant of Krishna. Krishnera Tatashta Shakti, the marginal potency of Krishna. And Bedabe Prakash, a manifestation simultaneously one and different from Krishna. So that phrase is there, Bedabe Prakash. So this Dvaita-Advaita philosophy of Nimbarka. So it's similar to Achintya. So it goes back a long ways, actually. And we see the logic of it because just as is explained in this purport, we can say in one sense that everything is one. In fact, this you can see why this purport is here because in the translation or the verse itself, it says Advitiye. There's no second thing. Sarvam kaluidam brahma. The problem that the impersonalists have, they take a word like this, advitiye, and sarvam kaluidam brahma, which means everything is brahma. Ekam brahma dvitiya nashti. Everything is brahma, there's no second thing. So they say that, okay, that's it. That says it all. Aham brahmasmi. Everything is brahma, and even me, I'm also brahma. Soham, you are too. Tattvamasi, Swetaketo. Oh, you are that, O Swetaketo. So we have all these statements of the Upanishads that say that everything is one. So the impersonalists, they grab onto that. This is it. This is definitive. But there are many statements that talk about duality also. For example, every statement that places Narayan separate from the jiva, or in the supreme position as the creator and controller of this world, we can't take that position. We can't say, yes, I'm the creator, I'm the controller, I'm the source of everything, everything comes from me. There are so many statements in the Upanishads that talk about the distinction as well as the unity. So the problem that the impersonalists face, they have to reconcile these things. In fact, this is one of the strong arguments, or you can say this is the ultimate argument of Vyasadeva in the Vedanta Sutra for his philosophy, of course, despite the wrong interpretation of Shankaracharya, is that there is duality. There is a kind of duality. There is dvitiya. So Vyasadeva's strong statement about this, to establish this, is you have to accept duality because it's there in the Vedas. That's what it comes down to. If you accept, and that's what all those who accept the authority of the Vedas, they accept the Upanishads and the Vedas as aparusheya, coming from a transcendental source, coming from God, or the Supreme, or Brahman. In fact, the Vedas are also called Brahma. They're synonymous with Brahma. Brahma means spirit. So, because the Vedas say there are two different things, that's the conclusion. So then you have to figure out or study the Vedas to see, to understand that. How do we understand that? The Shankaracharya, his problem was he only accepted there is one. Of course, we know Shankaracharya, he came on a mission, so he was empowered by Krishna. Or he's already empowered, Lord Shiva. So he was able to twist things around and convince people that it's all one. But his objection was that if there's only one thing, but we see duality, there seems to be some kind of transformation. So it must, what if you say that there's a transfer, if you say that there's a second thing, then that you're saying that Brahman is transformed. But you can't say that because Brahman is one. It doesn't transform. Brahman is vastu. It's the substance. It's the eternal substance that never changes. In fact, there's an accusation against this Dvaita philosophy of Nimbarka. That our philosophy, Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, is that the energy of the Lord, that the Lord has energies. It's not that he transforms. So Shankaracharya said, no, you can't transform Brahman. But our philosophy, based on the Upanishads, Parashi Shakti Abhividaiva Shriyate, is that the absolute truth is one, but he has energies which are one with him, and it's his energies that transform. He doesn't transform. So the criticism of Nimbarkacharya is he said that the vastu transforms. In other words, he's claiming exactly what Shankaracharya says you can't allow, that Brahman itself is transformed. But this was his problem, you can say. No, this can't be. You can't have a second thing. So that's where we get this Brahman Satya Jagan Mitya, this phrase. I don't know if Shankaracharya coined it or it came later. But it means Brahma is real, Brahman is real, Jagan, this world, whatever the so-called second thing, that's mitya. Mitya is false, which means it's not actually here at all. Of course, that's not our philosophy. You should know that. Our philosophy is that it is actually here. It's made of substance. It's made of something. It's made of Krishna's energy, actually. Parashya shaktir vividaiva shriyate swabhaviki jnanabala kriyacha. Krishna has innumerable potencies, and those potencies transform. That's what this world is. It's Krishna's potency. It's Krishna's energy. And it's real. Now, in a sense, it's not real because it's temporary. Nāsato vijite bhāvo, nābhāvo vijite sattaha. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that what doesn't exist, what doesn't maintain, you can say, last, that's called asat. So asat, that means not only temporary, it means unreal. In fact, you could, maybe people would translate that as, well, that's false. But no, it's not false, it's temporary. It's actually here for a time, and then it's gone. So that's our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy based on the Vedas. So many places we hear about the energy of the Lord. And these energies are transformed. Not that Brahman himself or itself is transformed. So the next sampradaya after Nimbarka, Vishnu Swami, that's the Rudra Sampradaya, Sridhar Swami, the Bhagavatam commentator, came in his line sometime, and not too much later, I think. Actually, Sridhar Swami was a few hundred years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so I guess there was several hundred years in between. So his philosophy is called Shuddha Advaita, or Shuddha Advaita, purified monism. So, actually, many of the scholars, they think that Sridhar Swami was a Mayavadi. And there are some elements of that, because he was actually, at that time at least, his line was Mayavad, and at least his guru was a Mayavadi. So he was considered, at least nominally, a Mayavadi. But he commented on the Bhagavatam, made a commentary on the Bhagavatam, Sridhar Swami, and it was a Vaishnava commentary. In fact, all throughout in our Bhagavatam, you'll see, especially in the later cantos, at the end of his commentary on a particular verse, or especially a particular chapter, Sridhar Swami is repeatedly offering prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev. Lord Nrisimhadev was his Ishta Devata, his worshipful deity. So he was certainly a Vaishnava. So before him, Sridhar Swami had the Shuddha Advaita philosophy. So purified monism. So it's also another, you can say, Achintya Bheda Bheda. I don't know the exact details of the philosophy. But then Ramanujacharya, his philosophy is Vishishta Advaita. So this means Vishishta Advaita. So again, we have Advaita or monism, but it's Vishishta. This is an important word in our philosophy, actually. Vishishta, Vishesha. It means distinction or qualified. So it's oneness, but qualified. Sort of one, we can say. The way he states it is that there's Ishvara, and then from Ishvara, we have Chit and Achit. So we have the Jiva and Achit, the material world. So these are qualities of the one Brahman. So he is one, but he has these qualities which are, in a sense, different from him. There's an explanation of this in Sanskrit, using the different cases of Sanskrit, which, because I don't know Sanskrit, I can't repeat it. But the idea is that Brahman is the noun, and Chit and Achit are the adjectives modifying the noun. So there, when you take the adjectives and the noun together, you can say you have one unit there. But in a sense, there's also a separateness. So this is Ramanujacharya's philosophy, Vishishta Advaita. Vishishta. Prabhupada would sometimes quote this. I don't know where it comes from. Nama Rupa Guna Lila Parikar Vishishta. So it means that Krishna and his Nama, Rupa, Guna, Lila, and Parikar, his name, form, qualities, pastimes, and associates, they're Vishishta. They're unique, actually. They're Krishna, but they also have their unique individuality. So that's the position of the Jiva. In Shankaracharya's philosophy, of course, the Jiva doesn't really exist. The Jiva is also mithya. It's a false conception that Brahman. Now, we call Shankaracharya, I don't know if he labeled his name Vibharta. Vibharta means a mistake or bewilderment or illusion. So this word, the idea appears in the Vedas that one mistakes one thing for another. That's a mistake. You mistake a rope for a snake. So according to Shankaracharya, the idea that But Brahman, you can say, kind of makes a mistake. Thinks himself minute living entities. So that's not the reality. We don't actually exist. I was thinking there's a famous book on philosophy by Will Durant. I forget what it's called. It's like a summary of Western philosophy. And when he's talking about Descartes is, I think, therefore I am. So he's talking about Descartes. He says, Descartes, he decided to doubt everything. So he began with doubting his own existence. He had to work his way up to that. I think, therefore I am. Okay, I've come to a conclusion on that. At least I exist. Let me work from there. That's sort of implied by Will Durant. That's pretty radical when you doubt your own existence. But then, actually, according to Shankaracharya, you don't exist. And not only that, so that's monism, because there's only one thing. So we individual consciousnesses, subjects, we individual subjects experiencing this world, that's just an illusion. It's not actually real. And materialism is also a kind of monism. If you say that everything is matter, that's also monism. It's only one thing. Now they're trying to figure out what that one thing is. They're now down to one of the popular theories is vibrating strings. So whatever those, then you, of course, the next question is, well, what are those strings made out of? You always have the next question. Well, what's that? Well, that's matter, those things. Well, what's that made out of? You can never get to the bottom of it. Ultimately, you get to Krishna, and Krishna is infinite. So that's all, but anyway, that's another kind of monism, materialism. So in materialism, we don't exist either, actually. Our existence is an illusion. And Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita. Even if you think that, you know, this is all temporary, you're temporary. So that philosophy was around Buddhism, that in Buddhism you don't exist. Actually, in Buddhism, nothing really exists. There are many, of course, many, many branches of Buddhism. And one of their ideas is that there is no reality, you can say, because think of the past. The past doesn't exist. It's gone. The future isn't here yet, so it doesn't exist. So what exists is now. But what is now? How long does now last? I saw some reference the other day. Most people think a moment is about 3 seconds. How do you define it? What is now? Well, maybe it's only 1.5 seconds. Well, maybe it's only a millionth. Well, maybe it's a trillionth. You keep going and going. So what is now? There is no now, actually. Because it's always going too fast. It's never even here, in one sense. So there is no now. So that's one of their ways they rationalize that there's nothing, actually. So we have all of these philosophies. And now Jiva Goswami, he studied all of these things. He was in Banaras studying where all the philosophers were. He studied these. Of course, he studied from a Vaishnava. He studied from a student of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Vidyavachaspati. So he was hearing from a Vaishnava, but learning all of these and all the six darshans, Vedic darshans. So when he wrote his Tattva Sandarbha and his Shat Sandarbha, he had mastered all these different philosophies. And he knew all the arguments, all the different approaches. And that's why his writing is so powerful. His Sandarbhas are so powerful. And he especially, because he's the Gaudiya Vaishnav Siddhanta Acharya, he's the one especially. Rupa Goswami is Rasa Acharya. He explained Rasa. Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu Ujvala Nilamani. So Jiva Goswami, he established the Siddhanta especially. That was his task. So he especially established this Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, even though he may not use the word over and over again. That's what he's explaining in his books. So it's a very logical philosophy that God is everything, but everything is not God. That's one of the simple ways to put it. Because Prabhupada would come up with, I would face this a lot in people arguing with him. I remember one time just, you know, hearing the philosophy in the very early days of Krishna consciousness, and one Indian man came to the temple. And he said, everything is God, so we can just take any stone and just worship it because everything is God. So that
But it's not. Everything is God, but God is not everything. Or God is everything, but everything is not God, rather. Sarvam kalvidam brahma. Everything is Brahman. But actually, well, I heard one tape probably said, we're actually the true monists. Because they say Brahman satya jagan mitya. They have two things. And we say, no, everything is Krishna. So, but everything is Krishna. We're also Krishna. In fact, I was thinking of the implications of this. We of course, we define this as Mayas, thinking there's something separate from Krishna. We think ourselves separate from Krishna. But we're actually part of Krishna. We have to just realize what that really means. We're part of Krishna. Krishna is so great and so wonderful, and we're worshiping him. Of course, we're a subordinate part, but still, we're part of him. We're part of wonderful Krishna, amazing Krishna, all-pervasive Krishna, who's attracting everything, most attractive. We're part of him, made of the same thing. So our task, of course, is to realize that. In Madhvacharya's philosophy, Madhvacharya, Ramanuja emphasized the oneness and Madhvacharya emphasized the difference. So his idea is that we're eternally distinct from Krishna. So I don't know, of course I haven't studied in depth these philosophies, so I assume the idea is that, of course we also say we're eternally distinct, but still we say that we have our origin in Krishna. So I don't know if his idea is that we don't actually quite originate from Krishna, we're eternally separate from Krishna, maybe his idea. But still, he says, our constitution is that we're subordinate and we have a natural propensity to serve Ishvara. The jiva is eternally subordinate and by constitution and by nature and by psychology, you might say, has a tendency eternally to serve the Ishvara. That's his idea. So, of course, that's also our idea. We're eternally Nitya Krishna Das, and our everything we do is meant for awakening us to that reality. And that's the reality that's being spoken of in this verse. So this is the reality that everything is within Krishna. We're all connected to Krishna. All right, let me read the translation again. This is illusion that earth, water, fire, air, ether, sense objects, demigods, mind, the senses, false ego, and the total material energy exist independent of you. In fact, they are all within you, my Lord, who are one without a second. Questions, comments? Jamashtami Prabhu?
Prabhu, I have a couple questions. In the first verse of the Bhagavatam, Śrīla Vyāsadeva says, Anyavad Uttaratāś Chitesh Padigya. What does that actually mean? You know, that Krishna is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations. I've heard explanations, but I'd just like to hear what you...
Maybe you can give one, because I don't know.
Bhajan, you know, I was listening to a launch of the Bhakti Vaibhava course way back in the early 90s. And he said it's just like he gave a comparison, Krishna's consciousness to ours. You know, like where I just hit my knee, for those that are on the internet. I'm conscious that I hit myself, and then if I look at myself hitting myself, I'm also indirect. I'm directly conscious because I can feel it, and I look at it, and I'm indirectly conscious. Mm-hmm. So everything was in the present manifestation of Krishna's body. So he is aware of it in that context, but then he also, you know, is aware of it indirectly by observing what's going on. I don't know if that makes sense. I probably didn't explain it as well.
No, I think it's a good, I mean, it's one of these things that's hard to understand. I wonder, has Vishwanath Thakur already spoken about this in his commentary? You know, he gives five different purports to the first verse of the Bhagavatam. Maybe that's one of them has to deal with that somewhat.
So that's the first question. And the second question is, how did the different sampradayas handle, and this may be beyond the scope of this class, but how do they handle the descent of the jiva in the spiritual world? What are we doing here? You know,
I don't know. I had a hard time. I was researching this. I'm sure it's written somewhere, but in the Jiva Dharma, there's a section. And Dashamula of Bhaktivinoda also. But not a lot of details about these philosophies. I even went on Wikipedia to get more information. And, you know, there's some there, but it's hard to find out the real... Now, there are sites, Madhvacharya sites, for example. You can get more information about his philosophy. So, I mean, you would have to really apply yourself to each one of them and try to get it here and there and piece it together. But, I mean, there are probably books written by scholars that explain these things, but I couldn't find a lot of explanations or details of these philosophies.
I can remember 10 or 15 years ago, there was a whole controversy going on in the descent of the jiva. And what is your understanding, you know, of Arsidanta and that, from our sampradaya?
Well, I take what Prabhupada says, that we were with Krishna and now we're here because we rebelled against Krishna. That's one of these things that you can take statements from different places and come up with different conclusions. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in different places, he seems to say different things. So it's a tough one. Regarding what the other acharyas might say, there is this idea of Nitya Badha, that our, you know, this is where we came from. You can say we've always been here in the material world since the beginning of time. That's, you might say, our original constitutional state is to be in the material energy. And but we have the option or the opportunity to leave it by our purification. Now, of course, the general explanation is that we started in the Tathastha Shakti, which is some kind of in-between state, where there we made a choice. We could either go up or down, and we decided to come here. So that's, I don't know if that type, you know, what Ramanujacharya or Nimbarka says about that. Never was there a time when I did not exist. Yeah, we're all individuals eternally, but where did we start off, you can say? No, I know that, we're all eternal, but still we're eternally, so you're saying we're in the material world now, so we were eternally in the material world? That's the implication of what you're saying.
11th chant, the swan incarnation. Hans Avatar explains that illusion, we think that we're not liberated.
Well, that's another one. Is that actually we are still in the spiritual world. It's just sort of, we just sort of nodded off in an explanation to what we sometimes give. In one sense, of course, everything. We can't be separated from Krishna. It's all Krishna's energy. It's all Krishna. Advaitiya, if you want to emphasize Advaita, this is the spiritual world. It's all the spiritual world. So we are always with Krishna. We're just seeing it wrong. In fact, Prabhupada sometimes had conversations with devotees there where he would, and this kind of ideas would come out, but he would say that we don't emphasize this. You know, it's better to think this is the material world. And I'm stuck here and I need to get out. When you're very advanced, then you can see it as spiritual and you'll know how to live in it. But anyway, these are very, so many subtleties. These are achintya. The idea of achintya, the one website I was on, there was a whole discussion of, well, what's the achintya part of achintya beta beta? Because you say, well, we have our explanation, the sun and the sunshine, they're one and different. That doesn't seem to be achintya. It seems very logical to me. I can understand it. So what's achintya about it? So now, of course, I could be one easy response to that is, well, it involves Krishna, so Krishna is achintya, achintya guna swarupam. Of course, by that argument, any philosophy that has to do with God is achintya, because God himself is achintya. Anyway, these things you can be...
You can debate them to forever, actually. Madame Mohan Prabhu?
I remember that Prabhupada said that if you're shot, I think with an arrow or something, you shouldn't think where the arrow came from. You should get it out first. That, in other words, that it, as you were saying, it's not to be emphasized. And then Lord Chaitanya, he says, somehow or other. So does that mean he wasn't, you know, articulate? That he says, somehow or other, we have fallen into the...
Yeah.
And
well, that's another one of those where you can give other statements. And like Prabhupada says in his books, we should study the philosophy of the other acharyas. So if you're going to study their philosophies, you're going to come up with, you're going to come across discussions of these kinds of things. But it's true that Prabhupada in the, you know, the tall fruit logic argument, you know, the two philosophers are arguing, did the bird make the fruit fall from the tree, or did the from the branch, or did the fruit fall and it made the bird fly away? So they argue back and forth. And Prabhupada said, just, you know, eat the fruit, basically.
And then, just thinking about it myself, was that if the cause is still present, you can't get rid of the effect. So in other words, how can you have a liberated understanding if you're still conditioned? So first, become liberated. Then you understand. Because in your conditioned state, there's a reason you're conditioned. So that cause that's causing you to be conditioned is the same cause why you can't understand something until you're liberated. You say, I want to be liberated right now. So give me the understanding of liberation now while I'm still conditioned. It's like an oxymoron. Someone says, I'm in the swimming pool, throw me a towel. You have to get out of the pool first to dry off. If you're still in the pool, throwing the towel will just get the towel wet.
Are you sort of talking in reference to achintya? Is that,
yes, because as long as the cause is still present, how can you get rid of the effect?
So achintya becomes chintya when we're liberated? That's what you're suggesting?
It won't be significant at that point.
Yeah. It won't be significant?
Yeah. So
we don't care anymore.
Yes, being the gitae survey, but that's on the body.
All right, let's stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
7-2.